Amen. She might just keep her microphone. What do you think? That's in training. That's next. Next up, you know how it goes? I was sitting thinking about it here on the bench, and you know, kind of cool this morning outside, and damp, foggy, everybody wet. I sure hope everybody here's got warmer hearts than you have hands. If you hadn't, we're in trouble. I'm telling you, you know, you need a warm heart this morning, and I'm here to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just a wonderful opportunity to do it. I think so much about His grace and how much He loved us. Before you loved Him, you know, it wasn't on our account. It wasn't because we loved Him first. I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you this morning. A lot of things in mind. I mean, you know, we've talked about all the things we've got to pray about in the church, but I'm going to tell you, we've also got things to rejoice about and to praise God about, you know, knowing that He's a God that takes care of our needs and watches over us and cares for us. And, you know, even though we see situations that we don't understand, I believe God's still in control. And I thought about this a lot, and I studied about it last night and yesterday. You know, letting the Spirit be in control of your life. That's what it's about, letting the Spirit be in control. Not the flesh, not our mind, not what we think, but let that Spirit be in control of the heart, and it'll affect your mind. I want to look at Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. A lot of people need to know that somebody cares for them. You know, have you ever been at a hospital and walking down the hall and find somebody in a room by themselves and nobody really there to visit? And it happens at the nursing homes too. Nobody really there to visit. But I want to leave this news with you from the Word of God this morning and this powerful word that I share. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So He's out about His business. He's doing what God sent Him to do. He's carrying out the will of God. In verse 36, it said, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When we read about this word compassion, you know, and I think about the situations we're in today, this same Jesus hadn't changed. There's still a compassion for the multitudes, you know, whether we understand it or not. He's got compassion for everybody here present in the church today, but He's got compassion for everybody in this community, everybody on this mountain, everybody in this world. And this is given an example when He looked at the multitude and He said, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, God created us to worship and praise Him. And to do that, we have to follow Him. There has to be some sort of leadership in our life. And I'm praying today that it's the Holy Spirit of God that we're not just wandering about and fainting as the sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus has compassion on you. If nobody else in this world cares, Jesus does. It said, then said He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He shall send forth laborers into His harvest. So He started desiring that there'd be workers go forth and help Him share this word of God, this preaching the kingdom to come. And so we understand today, if everybody else turns against you, if nobody else cares, Jesus does. And it's not because you first loved Him, but because He first loved you. Now, that was God's plan. Isn't that a wonderful plan of grace for us? I can shout and praise God because of the grace that saved my soul. And I can shout and praise God because the Holy Spirit dwelling within me is my leader and my guide for this life. It makes life a much different thing. It makes life a much better thing when you follow the leadership of God. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, just for a few minutes. Y'all turn there with me. Matthew chapter 6, and verse 19. We have instruction from God, instruction from the Word of God. You know, I'm thankful that we've got a book. I'm thankful He left us this Word that we can look and have instructions to have a better life. Now, it's also to have an eternal life, but I believe life in this can be better for us in this world also. And so when we look at these things, this is instruction. We're going to get to, after a while, even without instruction, the Holy Spirit of God can teach you these things. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither doth moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, understanding from the Word of God, when we start looking at this about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's people that got treasure other than that of God. I can tell you that for a fact, because everybody's not serving God in the way that God would have them to. Everybody's not following the leadership of the Spirit, but there are many of them walking after the flesh. So we start looking at this thing. You know, you can lay up treasures on earth. We can gain a lot of things, but they're none of them safe. They're not on my, none of them absolute. It said that the moth and rust and doth corrupt, and where a thief break through and steal. And I think about, you know, all we can accomplish, all we can gain in this life can be gone this quick. I tell you, one good round of sickness and you paying the doctor bills and all you've accomplished can be gone very quickly. I saw it happen. I know it's a thing. And so we need to concentrate on what we're laying up. You know, we need that hope in heaven. We need that hope that God gives us to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, that's just pretty plain talk. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear that, and they want to be wishy-washy, sit on the fence. You've got to make a choice, and you've got to make a decision who you're going to serve in life. Are you going to serve this world and the ungodliness, or are you going to serve God in the way He wants us to serve Him? And so when we start looking at these things, you know, it brings us down to a choice. Verse 25, it said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And so, you know, going along with the song the lady sang a few minutes ago, His eyes on the sparrow. He knows what you're in need of. He knows what your situation you're facing is. He don't always fix it the way we want it. That's the only problem we have. God don't always fix problems the way we want them fixed, because we're not always right and He is. You get the understanding on that? Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And it starts bringing us back to the pouring of faith in our life, that we got to believe God, we've got to trust God in all situations we face. That's the hard thing to do, that even in the good times, bad times, whatever times it might be, that we know that God's working all things for our good. You know, when you read in Romans 8 and 28, it tells us that very plain, that everything's working for our good, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, or whenever it might be. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. In verse 33, I believe is a key to a successful, I believe it's a key to a happy, I believe it's a key to joyful life in all these things. In verse 33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Boy, you talk about powerful verse. You talk about giving us a hope that we can have better, not only in this life, but the promise of eternal life to come. That seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know, I think about this, and I've even tried to put myself on trial among myself and things in life. I get a little distracted here, get a little distracted there. First thing you know, I've got something before seeking that kingdom. And it's a battle with me. It should be a battle for you, that we're going to continue to walk in the Spirit and we're going to seek the kingdom of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I'll let you get there. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now is there therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now this is a conditional statement that I'm making to you. You know, a lot of times God just makes a statement. That's what it is. This one's a little bit conditional. It said, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. But then the condition comes in, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we need to be practicing. We need to be focused on walking in the Spirit in all times, in every situation in life. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You know, this happens. I hear a lot of people, you know, a lot of times they use this when they get mad. They'll say, well, I pretty much got in the flesh. I've heard that before. No, you just got mad. I hope you didn't get in the flesh. I hope you're still walking after the Spirit. In verse 2, it said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so there's a fulfilling of the righteousness because walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If our people were walking in the Spirit this morning, minding the things of the Spirit, you might have had to reserve a seat to get in the church. Because the Spirit of God, I believe, draws people to church. I believe that's one of the factors of the Holy Ghost working inside of us, lead, guiding, and directing us. That, you know, we should have a desire. I don't know how you are, but my life revolves around church services. When I get up on Sunday morning, my spirit is leading me. I'm going to a church service. And a lot of y'all think, well, you're the preacher. You have to. I don't have to. I could have laid out this morning. Been a wonder boy. Y'all come up here and said, I wonder where he's at. Amen. I mean, I could be the wonder boy, but there's a Spirit of God that leads us, that should lead us to the place of worship. It should lead us in matters of life that we make the right choices and the right decision, that we're going to worship and praise God, that we're going to seek first the kingdom and all things going to be added to us. I don't have to worry about it as long as I'm seeking the kingdom of God, putting it first. After the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. And after the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. That's according to the Word of God. And some people say, well, how do you know? Because God says it, and God's not ever wrong. Amen? In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to look at verse 16, I think, verse 18. Let me look at that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when we start talking about fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you know, the lust is something we desire to do. I'm thankful, you know, God has been working on me for years, for year after year after year, and that Spirit living inside of me has been making changes. It's been making adjustments in my life all the way through, and He's not done yet. I'm not a finished product. You know, I won't be a finished product probably till I go through the grave and come back resurrected. Then I can be a finished product, a work of God, perfected by His power. And that's the way all of us are. And so we're caution today not to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the verse 17, it said, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." You know, I heard that explained one time. It's talking about the flesh. It's talking about the spirit. And an older gentleman said, "There's two of them in me, you know." And he said, "It's just like two big old black dogs, and they're fighting. And somebody said, "Which dog wins?" He said, "The one I feed the most." Amen. I want you to know the winner will be the one you feed the most. Are you feeding that spirit, or are you feeding the flesh? And so we have to keep these things in mind. In verse 18, this is good news to everybody here, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen. Led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, we know the law was set aside, and you know how Moses gave the law, and people had to look to the law and know what God directed them to do, and there had to be somebody to communicate it. Well, you know, as much as I think preaching is important, as much as I think Sunday school teaches is important, it don't have to happen. God can reveal it to you by Himself. Y'all thought about that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13, listen at it. It said, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before." Now notice this. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us. "This is a covenant that I will make with you after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into your hearts." Got it? "And in their minds I will write them." And so as great and wonderful as it is that we've got this printed word of God, that we've got preachers to preach the gospel and declare Jesus Christ Savior, as great as it is, we got teachers. As great as it is, we got singers that'll sing about it. I'm telling you, God can do it without any of us. Now, he said he's going to use man. Amen. But if there's not man possible to do it, what does it say? He said, "I'll put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I'll write them." The laws of God in your heart and mind. That's why you know wrong and know right from wrong, and nobody has to tell you. That's why you don't have to run up and ask the preacher or Sunday school teacher, "What do you think about this?" God can put it in your heart. God can put it in your mind. He knows what's on your heart and mind. And I'll tell you plain, most of the questions I get asked like that, you wasted your time. You knew it was wrong. Before you asked me, you just wanted somebody to agree with you. You know, it makes it feel better if two or three can agree on something, right? You know, if I went over here and talked to Melvin and run back there and talked to Tony, and I said, "Let's just all lay out a church next week. You agree with that? Tony, you agree with me?" Y'all don't, do you? You better not. I picked on two deacons just for that reason. You better not. Now, Tony may not make it next week after the surgery, but we'll not hold that against him, you know. But if you get three or four people to agree with somebody with you, makes it feel better, but it don't make it right. Right's according to the Word of God. A couple more scripture I want to share with you. Book of St. Mark, chapter 12. St. Mark, chapter 12. St. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. St. Mark 12, 28. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" Very important question. Ask Jesus, which is the most commandment, important commandment of all? Now, you know, there were 12 commandments given to Moses by God. But listen to what Jesus said. "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. Now, we've got the first commandment, what we're to do. What are we going to do? We're going to love God with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, all the strength. This is the first commandment. Now, anything less than that, you're not fully pleasing God. You know, if you put about a half-hearted effort in it, you're not fully pleasing God. He wants all. He wants it all. He wants 100% effort. And the second is like this, is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so we have the two greatest commandments of God that we're to apply to our lives that we might have better lives. I mean, that you might have a better situation, you know, that we may not have to face some of the troubles and problems that go around all in this community. All your heart, your mind, your strength, loving God. Anything less, you're lacking. You need to put it all in. God wants it all. I saw a sign the other day. He wants what's right, not what's left. Amen. Y'all got that one? Now, it was applied to tithing, but I can apply it to spiritually. He wants what's right, not what's left. Amen. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed. A lot of things to pray about. Still got some people out visiting. Got a lot of people out sick. Need to pray for all these folks. Pray for the church. Pray God lift us up and encourage each and every one of us. We need an encouraged church. We need moving forward for the cause of Christ.